Hello there, lollygaggers. Another week on tap here at Lollygagging Sports. I'm Bo Reed, along with Samantha Button and Matthew Irby. As always, Samantha, how we doing? We are into the off season, which sucks. But other than that, how you doing?
I'm good. I miss baseball, but it has been like 24 hours of joy. Like, many great things have happened. We found out that the Louvre password for the cameras was Louvre, which was delightful. That made me happy. Also, Irby, you're the one who alerted me to this. We're getting a Miss Piggy movie, which, like, I don't know any more about this, but I don't need to. We're getting a Miss Piggy movie. And also, Mummy 4, yeah. Which wouldn't interest me, except this is Mummy 4 with Brendan Fraser and Rachel Weisz.
Right.
So, I am really excited. We need these small things, you know, to keep going in times of great strife. And I feel like we've had a really good run for the last, like, 24 hours or so. So, keep coming.
Yeah. It's been fun. And very much looking forward to that Mummy movie for exactly the same reason.
It's going to be so good.
Right? Like, 3 didn't have Rachel Weisz. 4 was that stupid Tom Cruise crap.
That doesn't count. We're not acknowledging that as a Mummy.
Not canon. Not canon.
Absolutely not. And 3, like, acceptable, but yeah, without Rachel Weisz, not great. I agree.
No.
4 is not canon. And this is 4. They're calling this 4, right? Because we're not acknowledging whatever that Tom Cruise
movie. That's probably the best. That's the best course, because that was such a flop.
My understanding, too, is they are not even going to acknowledge 3. Like, this is a continuation from 2.
I'm okay with that,
yeah.
But I've also heard, and I blank on the actor's name, but her brother will also be returning.
I don't know that guy's name, but that is good news. I know his character's name. I don't know the person's name, but yes, that is excellent. Yes, bring everybody back.
Is this like what is it? Are we doing the same thing here that we did with Jurassic Park, where we just ignored Lost World?
The only Jurassic Parks that exist to me are the first 3, so I don't know. I don't acknowledge anything after that.
I'm trying to get very picky about my Jurassic Parks. I really am. Irby, how about you? How you doing?
Like, living in that same world. Miss Piggy movie, Mummy movies, and just type in Louvre. I would love to know, especially with the Louvre, like, how many other museums did the same thing, and immediately at work today were like, hey, we got to change the password. Why? Apparently that's not normal.
Oh, I was thinking about that, too. Like, how many, like, panicked, like, arts institutions, you know, like, was, like, the orchestra's password orchestra? Like, was the opera's password opera? Like, if you go to the ballet, you know, New York City Ballet, was NYPD the password? How many people changed their password in panic today? I'd love to know.
More than they probably should, but that's okay. That's okay.
All right. Well, we're going to have some fun tonight, I think. We're going to talk about all kinds of fun stuff. So, Samantha, you want to kick us off with that good old-fashioned rapid fire that terrifies Irby and I every week?
Sure. Yeah, no, we got 10 questions, as per usual. We have a bit of World Series stuff to clean up, a little bit more baseball, and a handful of NFL things at the end here. You guys get 10 questions, no time to think about it. They did not get to explain themselves. Some of these have right answers, some of them do not. They will have the opportunity to go back and elaborate on one of their answers at the end of this. All right, shall we begin with some sort of closure on the World Series?
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. So, in Game 7, the bench is cleared.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we've ever seen this in a World Series before. Have you ever seen this in a World Series before?
I can't recall it.
It's not that I don't think it's ever happened. It's
yeah.
Just that I don't think I've ever seen it. So I was just curious if either of you had any memory of seeing it.
Yeah, I can't imagine that it hasn't happened before, but I can't remember seeing it either.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure this is not the first instance of it. I'm just wondering if it is actually the first instance since we've been old enough to remember. I don't know. Or maybe we're forgetting one. I don't know. Irby, you got any? Do you have any recall of this happening?
No, not in the World Series. Postseason, yes, but not World Series.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so legendary figure on this podcast amongst Cleveland Guardian fans, amongst Toronto Blue Jays fans, and hopefully now amongst the baseball watching population at large, Ernie Clement, bought the mitt he was using off of eBay because his broke and he needed one that was broken in. He didn't have time to break it in, right? So he bought one off eBay. I don't really have a question. I'm just adding to the mitt. I just want to add to the mythology of Ernie Clement. And if you don't know the lore of Ernie Clement, I urge you to look into this because it is exceptional. Comments?
I mean, did he buy it used on eBay or is it
new? Yes. Yeah, because he needed it broken in.
Right. That's the whole. Okay. Yeah. So I mean, it makes perfect sense to me. I mean, I know it sounds weird, but a professional athlete at this stage of the season buying a glove off of eBay, but I get it. It's nice and broken. It's kind of like when you go to college, you get the book that's got the notes in it.
The interviewer from, I think it was MLB Network, who was asking him about this, was saying to him, like, oh, well, you know, it might be stolen. Which, first of all, I think that's incredibly unlikely, but also, you know, credit to Ernie Clement, who was like, uh-huh, like, no, I'm not falling for that. Okay, black market mitt off eBay. Okay, Arby, any thoughts on this?
You're exposing the black market of baseball stuff, and that's a whole fun conversation we could have there. I absolutely love this because I for all the kids, like, this is what you need. Like, you just need something that works. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that this shiny new
rapid fire stuff. Rapid fire, RV.
Yeah,
rapid
sorry. Fire. It's hilarious. It's awesome.
Okay, so we haven't talked since we had the ground rule issue on Halloween. So the ball getting stuck in the padding. Like, I mean, I just want to get your thoughts on that, right? Because it was amazing to me the number of people who did not understand the ground rules, did not bother to look them up, and did not bother to ask anyone what was going on before assuming that the umps were fixing the game. So I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that the answer is never the umps are fixing the game. Like, has it not occurred to you there might be a reason to this? This is one of my least favorite corners of the internet. It's fixed.
I mean, it's pretty obvious it got stuck in the pad.
Yeah, I don't think that was the question. Right, nothing from you?
I mean, okay. I have nothing to add that beyond what you've already put out there. I got nothing to add.
All right,
it's pretty obvious.
I learned the rules of a sport before you post. That's simple. Doesn't matter if baseball or any sport. Come on, folks. Pay attention.
It is astounding to me, yeah. Like, it's not that I expect you to know every rule, especially if you're a casual fan. It's that I think you should ask if you don't know the rule before you go start screaming about how the sport is fixed. Okay, can we not do this?
Yeah.
Ask someone or say nothing. Okay. TJ Hernandez, the October Witch, whose powers manifest only in the month of October, as evidenced by his total and complete futility in the regular season, and then his futility in the games that took place once we got into November. How do we feel about this? Because I respect this immensely. Like, look, man, like, your entire job is contingent upon, like, having magical secret powers that activate only in October, and he has figured out the perfect way to use that.
Yeah. No, he absolutely has, and I like this. I like this, that he's the October Witch.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. That's really the only, I think, the only way to explain what he does in October.
Absolutely. Eldritch, for sure. RB, thoughts?
Oh, 100% agree with this, and now controls other people getting Andy Pages over there to make that catch that saves your life. It saves the season. Incredible.
Amazing, especially considering we were in November by the time that happened, right? So his powers waned. He had to rely on wits alone at that point. And Pache was going to run him over, which was stupid on his part, as Hernandez is the better outfielder, but just he summoned up just a little bit of magic there to basically maybe not die when Pajes decided to overrun him. So.
Like, does he not use any before that? Like he's completely filled up October. He can't recharge. He can only recharge in October.
That's my guess. It's like, yeah, renews on the first. It must be something about, like, the way the moon is or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's, I'm given to understand these things have a lot to do with, like, moon cycles or something, or astrology, where the planets are or whatever. But, like, yeah, if it recharges on October 1st, then you're probably pretty good to go for the month of October, and then maybe you got just a little drib left if it bleeds into November. So that's probably what happened there. You're right. That's a good observation. Okay. Game 7, was that the best World Series game you've ever seen?
Yes.
Irby?
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, that game had everything. We even had a fight. Oh, it was so great. baseball is awesome, and I miss it dearly. Okay, so Gold Gloves. Anything stand out to you there? Anything surprising? Anybody you think got completely ripped off? Anything there?
No, nothing. Nothing egregious either direction for me on this one.
Irby?
No, nothing. I love that we have, what was it, 9 first-time winners. I did love that.
Mm-hmm.
That we're not. I mean, I could go a lot more into it, but I do love that we're seeing that.
Yes,
that was
very cool.
That was a good nugget.
Agreed. Well, we can come back to that if you want. Pretty much the same thing, other than we're going to revisit. Once again, Ernie Clement not getting the utility Gold Glove in the American League is a war crime, and I am enraged by it.
Well.
Especially since it went to an Astro.
Well, yeah, I mean, that was gross, but it was also wrong. So, you know, incorrect. So, I'm upset about this. Okay, how about the award nominations? We have the finalists for this, and we'll talk a little bit about these as we move forward as they start announcing the winners. But in terms of the finalists, was there anything there that surprised you? Anybody you think got hosed by not being included? Anybody you were surprised was included? Anything sticking out to you there?
Not really. I thought they nailed the AL.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I thought that was exactly the 3 finalists we should have. But other than that.
For all of them? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So.
Abby? I'm sorry, I meant just going through it in my head. No, nothing. But I mean, I guess you have to have a third person, but Juan Soto is definitely not winning that.
There were a few where it was like that whole, like, well, we have to give someone this because we can't just have an empty space here. There were a couple like that. Yeah, we're like, this person has no shot at this. But as far as who the nominees were, yeah, I think they did a pretty good job. Okay, a little bit of NFL before we move back to baseball here. Cowboys-Jets trade. The trade deadline was underwhelming, to say the least, but we did get some wackiness between the Cowboys and the Jets. Bo, you have thoughts on that?
Oh, I have so many thoughts. I have way too many thoughts on this for rapid fire.
All right. Well, why don't you give us your overall general thought, and then we can come back to this, and you can say more about this.
Okay, all right. I can sum that up in one line. That was stupid, even for Jerry Jones.
There you go. Perfect. Okay, Irby, do you have any thoughts on this? Bo, we will come back and get more from you.
No. I'll defer all my time to Bo.
Okay. All right. Well, then we will hold that one over temporarily. Okay. Bills, Chiefs. Any takeaways from that? Did that game mean anything at all going forward? Did it tell you anything, or was it just like, yeah, okay?
It really, all it did was reinforce what I already thought about those two. Yeah. Is there anything meaning to it? No. Talk to me in January.
Yeah. Irving?
If those two play again, though, it's going to be a close game no matter what. Chiefs, and it's, what, 2 games out of behind the division leaders now? Life's getting tough.
History tells us that this doesn't mean anything. Your regular season winner here is not told us anything at all about what would happen in the postseason between these two. So, yeah, but except it's going to be close. I agree with that. Okay. Early coach of the year candidates?
Sean Payton.
Okay. Irby?
Um, Ooh, golly, man, you got me out of nowhere on this one.
You want me to do mine? I'll give you a second.
Yeah.
Let me give you a second. So, to me, if the Patriots make the playoffs, it's Mike Vrabel should be the unanimous winner.
Yeah.
If they don't, I think he's still in the conversation.
Yeah, I agree with that. In fact, as Irby was trying to come up with one there, I thought the same thing. Like, oh, man, I miss Vrabel.
Yeah, I think there's a really good argument for it. And if they make the postseason, I think it's...
No question if they make the postseason, it's him for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Irby?
Yes, that's... I'm not going to be able to improve on that. Vrabel, absolutely.
Okay. Bo, you wanted to come back to the Dallas trade?
I mean, I don't want to.
I mean, you don't have to. But.
No, I just, you know, God, like the whole problem here, I actually want to preface this by saying, happy with the player coming back, right? That's going to be a big, nice addition to that defensive line for Dallas, but you gave up too much, and you gave up a lot to essentially bring in a guy to replace a guy you traded that you didn't have to trade in the first place.
And there it is. You just gave up picks to get the same guy back, who's arguably a worse version of that person, right? I like Quentin Williams.
Sure.
But, like, he's not been very effective so far this season at all. And if you want to be optimistic, you can chalk that up to he didn't want to be there. The Jets are a mess. The individual stuff still looks pretty rough there. I don't know that I think he can match Micah Parsons, and now you just paid somebody to basically be Micah Parsons liked. Yeah. Like, this seems dumb.
It's dumb.
But it's a lose-lose, right? Because the Jets are just going to waste those picks, so everybody lost, right?
Yeah, but, you know, I think the one piece of this that's got me the most upset is he did this following two of the worst football games the Cowboys have played in a long time.
Right. Yeah, they're not.
They're not a contender.
I think if your record was even a little bit better, I would feel differently about this. The Micah Parsons part of it still looks absolutely awful.
Right.
But, yeah, now you're just throwing money.
You know what this equates to? The Angels buying at the deadline this past season. That's what this equates to.
Yeah, you're right.
The only difference is Jerry Jones gave up more than the Angels did in their buy, which is, again, stupid. I got nothing. Like this team is a complete train wreck. They're going to continue to be a complete train wreck. But that's okay because Jerry's got $100 million oil fields. He can tour and ignore the press.
Listen, at least they're losing in a funny way, right? This is like why I had to let go of the Browns, because it was no longer funny. I can tolerate the losing if it's entertaining.
Sure.
And for a long time it was, and then it just became gross. And then after that it became sad, which is why the Browns and I had to part ways. But, like, I will give credit to Jerry for this. It is entertaining, right?
It is that.
Jerry at least gives you something to laugh at, which is huge. So I will say that for the Cowboys. I got that going for it. All right. Irby, what did you want to come back to?
Still popping that popcorn watching that. It's been great. The one I'll come back to is just the other wrinkle in the Bills-Chiefs conversation.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Neither's a division leader right now. Kind of made that clear, but I can't say. But if the playoffs start today, Kansas City's out. Like, just I love that little wrinkle in this thing of this could be a much earlier round game, or are they both going to end up being wild cards and they're both going to play in the AFC Championship?
Okay, so what do you think the chances are that they both come back and win their division?
Buffalo, I mean, you're only half game behind New England, so that is absolutely in the conversation. It just happens that you're right there. Kansas City, I know it's two games. If it was two games to the Chargers, I would say a lot higher, but Denver's looking solid.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I said both, because I think Buffalo is going to win their division. I think New England is probably a playoff team, but I think Buffalo's going to win their division. Kansas City, I'm not so sure. Like you said, if this was the Chargers, I'd be like, they're going to find a way to blow that. Don't you worry.
yeah.
Mets of the NFL, you will find a way to screw it up. But, like, Denver looks pretty legit. I absolutely think Kansas City is going to the postseason, but they may very well be going as a wild card, which, by the way, unfortunately, does not mean they will not be the last man standing.
Yep.
Which is terrible, yep. And I know we're all sick of it, and we all hate it, but unfortunately.
Good thing to watch there. They haven't played each other yet, Denver and Kansas City.
Yeah.
First game, not this coming week, but the next week.
Yeah, interesting, right? So we got two head-to-head there, which theoretically could flip it. So
Yes.
Not flip it, but tie it. So, well, I guess it would flip it, right? Because then if Kansas City won both of them, then, yeah, they would get it. So, okay, interesting. All right, something to keep an eye on. You couldn't pay me to watch that game, but I will note the score. I'm trying to watch as little of the Chiefs as possible because I find it physically painful these days. So, okay, so moving on from rapid fire, unless anybody has anything else, can we move on?
Yeah, nothing for me.
Yep.
Good. Okay, so I wanted to talk to you guys a little bit about like off-season stuff for baseball, some wish list stuff. I wanted to get from you guys, first, and we're going to get into like the opt-outs and what's going on with that because I think that's probably the most central thing that can go on here, but I wanted to know what's on your wish list, just real quick. You don't need to explain it. Just give me a quick hit. Give me something for your team. Give me something for baseball in general, and then we'll get into the whole sort of implication of the opt-outs and what's going on with that.
Okay, so I guess we'll start off with my team. I really would like for the Rangers to move on from Adolis Garcia.
Okay, okay. Yeah, okay, that's a good one. Yeah.
I would very much prefer that. Overall league, I would actually prefer, now, Samantha, I know this is in your division, but this is more of it for baseball. I would prefer that the Tigers not trade away their generational talent in Tarek Skubal. Hang on to the guy for once. They always do this. They always trade these guys right when they get good.
Oh, they're not in a position to do that right now, so I wouldn't worry about that. his contract is not even position for that. So, yeah, no, I think you're going to be fine now. Irby, what about you?
So for versatile team and everything, it would be, like, the Rangers haven't had the same person lead the team in saves since Joe Nathan.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, you know what? Screw it. Spend too much money and get Edwin Diaz.
Ooh.
But are you sure you want Edwin Diaz?
No, I don't. But it. I mean, how many? Like, this is too many years in a row. Like, we don't have a closer.
Yeah.
Oh, that I agree with. I'm just saying, are you sure the guy you want is Edwin Diaz? Because the cost against the risk.
I know. It is. So. I mean, it scares me to put this out in the universe because Devin Williams is a free agent.
Oh my lord! No! That's not
yeah.
If they sign Devin Williams, I'm going to start rooting for the Guardians. Just so you know.
That would be fairly excusable. I agree. Okay, what about welcome, by the way, to our bandwagon. We would be happy to have you.
Yeah.
So.
But then the other move and everything, I guess it's because it's been so long since they've won Philadelphia. Don't let him get away. You got to resign Schwarber, whatever.
Yes.
Takes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I think so. Yeah. I mean, as much as I can think of a lot of other orcs that would love to have him. Yeah. I think
you need
Philly. You need to make that happen.
I mean, we're one of them.
Yes, exactly. I would love to have him. But
that has to get done, though, right? Like that has to get done.
Well, let's hope so. Okay, so yeah. Mine are, I mean, I don't even know what to say other than, like, I would like my pitchers back who are in, like, weird limbo, or just tell me if they've been thrown out of baseball. Like, this is going on. This is ridiculous the way this is going on. Either tell me these guys are banned for life or give them back. Like, yeah. I just, this is absurd. I cannot believe this is allowed to go on. Like, this is ridiculous. So it's that, and then, of course, you know, the proverbial elusive right-handed power bat in the outfield, which does not exist, and if it does, it will be too expensive, or we will pick the wrong one. So that's my, you know, team win. And then just in general, like, I mean, this is not so much general, it's just not my team. It's like, we need to get one of those Etsy witches, and, like, honestly, Steve Cohen, like, you have a ton of money, you could hire, like, an army of Etsy witches to unhex the Mets. Like, I mean, I realize it would be less funny if the Mets were not first. But, like, I mean, you gotta try. Right? Like, everything else you've tried has not worked. So, I don't know. A little bit of witchcraft here. Get Kike. Sign Kike. you know, although that would require you to get to October, which has been sort of a problem for them. So,
That's fun, though. Like, who gets unhexed first, the Mets or the Jets? Almost has to be the Mets, right? Because I'm not even sure the Jets are a hex. I think they just don't know what they're doing.
That's the thing. I don't even know if I think the Jets are cursed. I think they're just incompetent, whereas the Mets are both incompetent and cursed. So perhaps it would help. Like, I'm just sorry. Like, I don't see the Jets as having had a lot of, like, hard luck things happen to them. They're just idiots. The Mets are idiots, too, to a degree, but they've also had a lot of colossal bad luck. So, I think it's the Mets, for sure.
Okay. I like it. It's a good list.
All right. So let's talk. I agree. That is a good list. So let's talk opt-outs a little bit, because we have seen a lot of these. So I guess some of the things I want to talk to you guys about are, you know, on one hand, you could look at this as sort of moving towards the NBA model that we are trying to, you know, these guys are going to opt out of these because they think they can get a couple of more years. Or are we looking at, like, there's almost, I hate saying this, but we're almost guaranteed to be in a lockout in 27. Like, so is this, I am looking for a one-year deal with the highest possible AAV because I don't know how much season we're going to get in 27. Like, why are these guys doing this? Do you think it will work? Who do you think stands to benefit from this? Which people are going to get screwed having made this decision? You can answer any of these, some of them. Just share your general thoughts. It's a pretty open-ended thing, so, you know, whatever direction you want to take this in. I mean, I do want to point out to you that I think it is very important to note, speaking of incompetence rather than bad luck, that the White Sox picked up a $20 million option on Louis Robert.
Okay, I missed that. Wow.
So that happened.
Okay.
I wouldn't have done that.
I wouldn't know.
I'm unclear on what they think they're going to do here, because if they wanted to trade him, they could have done it at the last deadline. So I don't really understand what the end game here is.
Neither do the White Sox.
Apparently not. So anyway, there's that. But mostly we're talking about opt-out. Right. So just, you know, whatever you want to talk about before is yours. So
I think there's something to that. The looming lockout, they would make as much money as they can next year. I think there's something to that. But I also think, like, some of them, like, I'm looking at Pete Alonso. Like, he I think he legitimately bet on himself and signed a deal that he didn't want to sign and was going to – he already made up his mind the second he signed it. The ink wasn't even dry yet, that he was going to opt out of this deal and see what he could get on the open market. Try it again, so to speak. I think you're looking at the same thing with Alex Bregman. I think he's looking for – hopefully going to get – that deal he wanted a year ago, but the problem is the deal that wasn't there a year ago is not going to be there this year either.
Right. I think that's
so
a huge thing. I mean, I think it's a little bit easier to understand, I think, in Alonso's situation, because I don't know why the Mets wouldn't give him what he wanted. They can afford it. He is worth it. It's weird. I wonder ultimately if he made a mistake in who he chose as his agent. This is maybe not the best person to be a Boris client for a lot of reasons.
But I
think he got kind of hosed. Bregman, on the other hand, like, I mean, keep in mind, my guy, that, like, nobody knew if you were actually a legitimate hitter at all, because we have only evidence of your performance on a team where you were cheating. So, and then this year, got hurt. You know, effective, but got hurt. So maybe you can maintain it, and maybe you can't. But I don't know, as you pointed out, Bo, that deal is going to be there. And I agree with you. I don't know that it's there for Alonso either. I just think it sucks that it's not there for Alonso, because it should be with the Mets. They should be willing to pay him what he's asking. Bregman, I don't know if you're getting that. And you're certainly not getting it from Boston. So I hope he enjoyed his time here. I will not miss him. I'm glad he's leaving, because it was kind of giving me the ick with him and Chapman there. As my backup team and my local team, I was a bit icked out, so I'm pleased that we're done with this era.
I think you got a good point there about Pete Alonso not being a good Boris client, because Boris wants the headlines. He wants the huge number.
Right.
Well, Pete Alonso can get the huge AAV over 4 years instead of seven, and that would be a good deal, but that's not sexy enough for Boris.
Right, exactly. And he's going to push for the headline maker, right? And yeah. I don't think that's really what a guy like Alonso wants.
No.
And so I wonder if that's a like sort of a fundamental mismatch there that is a huge part of the problem.
Yeah. Oh, I got the highest AAV, and no one cares. Right? Well, that's what Boris is going to tell him. I think people should care. I think highest AAV is pretty damn good, especially when you put it over 4 years, which that is the whole, when it comes to this contract for Alonso, that's the whole ball game, isn't it? Like, the AAV is not the problem. It's the length. He's getting older.
Right. Well, yeah. I mean, he's older. He's a bigger guy. He's a first baseman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it's like, okay, you know, insert, it's so easy to play first base joke here if you want to, like, make me put on my scary face, like when Jack Skellington gets mad, you know, when he makes a scary mask. That's mm-hmm. me when somebody says it's easy to play first. But, you know, you are significantly less likely to get injured playing first. I mean, unless you're like Josh Naylor and you're like rolling your little fat self around on the ground over there and people are stepping on you and stuff. But like, you know, for the most part, like it's not, you know, Alonso is not exactly, you know, peak athletic specimen, but he's not one of those ones that you look like, I think you're going to have a heart attack running to first. So I think he'll be okay. But at the same time, you know, like we do see decline there, right? Particularly in, you know, if you're not going to be able to hit 45 home runs a season, you got to bring your on base percentage up.
Yeah.
So
I am curious, though, how many years Alonso is going to have as just a DH.
Yeah, it'll happen for sure. I mean, I don't think we're in danger of that anytime in the very near future, but he is getting older, mm-hmm. and this is going to be, if he gets what he wants, it's going to be a pretty lengthy contract, right? You're probably a DH for at least half of it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, we'll see.
So, yeah, no, great points. RB, what about you? What do you want to touch on?
I guess go in the direction of what you're talking about is the potential lockout and everything. And mm-hmm. it would be interesting to see the players' conversations that are happening amongst the players' association to the agents, to the players, and how that conversation, like what the deals happen. Like what deals do we see? Do we see some out of nowhere? And I'll pick on, like, I'll just use Bregman. Like does Bregman suddenly sign with the team for a 1 year, $35 million? And if we see a couple of those, will that kind of trigger that of like, okay, they're prepping for this lockout. Like they are prepping for this work stoppage and everything. And that will be interesting to see if it plays out on the front end, as opposed to when we get to February, March, and players haven't signed. So that's one. And what teams, like, I mean, rebuilding teams are going to get hurt there. It'll be the teams that have got that money flexibility that can quickly decide, okay, well, let's add, you know, three players here for this stupid amount, but it's a 1 year price tag. So that'll be fun to watch if it materializes. Hopefully it doesn't. And we get players like Alonso being one of them who deserve a long-term contract and gets that security and hopefully stays in the same place doing it.
Okay, well, let me ask you a follow-up question about that. If you have something else to say, we can go back to that, of course. But let me ask you a follow-up question about that first. So I wonder also if, you know, guys like Alonso and Bregman, just because of the money they've already made, can afford to take the risk of a lockout. So whatever that ends up meaning to them, whether that means you take less because you care where you go, or you're willing to sign a longer-term deal for less because one way or the other you're getting your money. What I wonder is if we're going to see guys like second-tier bullpen dudes and utility infielders holding out for a huge AAV on a one-year deal, because these are people who aren't even guaranteed employment if 27 is a lockout. What do you think about that?
That's good. Yeah, no, I hadn't thought of that before. And yeah, if you've got some super utility, and we'll use Ernie Clement as an example type player.
Still in our.
Yeah, no, I'm saying he is, but I'm saying that type of player.
If yeah, no. Like I'm more raising my grievance with the fact that his service time, despite being 30 years old, is still with the service time suppression that went on.
Maybe something else that can get fixed. in this
thing. Yes, like we're talking about an Ernie Clement type player who was not, did not have a service time suppressed. Yes. But
I mean, do you see a Josh Naylor? You know, not really a utility guy, but somebody like that is like, I'm going to go to a contender for a high AAV 1 year, boom, done. And I just want to win. Do we see that of the kind of the model? You know, we were griping about it last year as it's happening, where everybody's signing with the Dodgers, all the Dodgers. The Mets, you have that capability. I mean, the reality is a lot of teams have that capability to 1 year go, let's go all in and grab 7-8 players like this.
Okay, so you're now throwing out a third option because you're talking about a guy like Josh Naylor that's like young enough to, he's going to get paid eventually, right? Like, after the lockout, whatever. So you're saying basically it's like, okay, you know, that I'm going to use this as my year where I'm just going to take, like, you know, the baseball equivalent of like a max deal and for 1 year and go somewhere where I think I might be able to win a World Series ring. Okay, so that's a third thing. But what I still want an answer on is, like, what about these, like, second-tier relief pitchers, these guys who, like, if they were to be forced into a lockout situation where they were out of baseball for a year, and if they're, like, let's say they're 34 now, they're going to be 36 by then. Mm-hmm. Do you think that guy's ever getting another job? He's got to go after the money now, right? Like, he's got to hold out and go to some whatever, like, shitty team or place he doesn't want to be for the highest AAV because he might not be employable after that lockout.
No, and that's and the reliever is the perfect one there of those mid 30s relievers who the end is near, and you're telling your agent highest AAV, I don't care the location.
Oh yeah, this is the Paul Sewald of the world.
This is the
right.
Yeah, this is you telling the wife and the kids is like, hey, I'm going to be gone for a year, but this one contract, this 1 year, this sets us up for the next 10 years of our life.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Okay, anything else before we move on?
You know, I just want you guys just going to keep me on something with this expected lockout. You know, I just want to, before we start getting into, everyone starts getting into the camps of, okay, well, it's billionaires fighting with millionaires over a piece of pie. Yeah, before we start doing that talking point, what irritates me most, why aren't they already working on it?
Yes. I don't know why we're playing this game where we pretend that we don't need to work on this now in order to prevent it.
I get it. This is going to take a year and a half to sort out. Because, Irby, you touched on it there. There's a lot of things that need to be fixed.
Oh, is this the Loop's password is Loop? Is this their moment? Like, baseball's password is baseball?
Yeah, it might be. It might be. Because, like, listen, like... It's going to take a long time to sort. There's a lot that has to be fixed here. And it's going to take a long time to sort that out. Why are they waiting until the CBA expires to start?
Look, at the very least, people will be less angry. They will still be angry, but they will be less angry if you appear to have made a good faith effort to work on it ahead of time so that it looks like you don't want this to happen.
Yeah.
But jeez. Are we going to do that? No, we're not.
No. We're going to wait until the end of the 26th season, and as we are watching,
they're going to panic.
Yeah, as we're watching the World Series champion douse themselves in champagne, in the back of our minds, we're going to be wondering, when are we going to see this again?
Yep.
Truth be told, our generation of baseball fan is still traumatized. We still have PTSD from '94. We still do. It's there.
We've had multiple lockout/strikes in our lifetime. This will be the fourth one.
Yeah.
Right? And then there was also the COVID disaster. Mm-hmm. You know? So we've lost parts of, we've had 5 interruptions of games and lost parts of, I think, 8 seasons because of it. That is just crazy when you consider that we're only talking about baseball post, like, let's say 1986.
Mm-hmm.
That's insane.
Yeah. It is. Start now.
Not looking forward to them letting us know that they're not working on this. Not one of my off-season goals, but I like you putting that out there. Like, here's what I'd like you guys to do this off-season. I'd like you to start working on not having a lockout 2 years from now. Start on that. Like, I don't care about your stupid robot umps, okay?
Right.
Like, I would like to see, because what good is any ump if there is no baseball? So, like, let's just table this you know, robot nonsense. I'm not saying we don't need ABS. We do. But, like, I think that we have more important, bigger fish to fry. Like, what will the robots... Oh, my God. Are the robots going to kill us because they won't have a job after 1 year of service time?
Listen, with all this AI shit that's floating around, I'm very concerned. Like nobody watched the Terminator movies. It's obvious. Nobody watched them.
I cannot believe that anybody who was old enough to have seen Terminator is saying, oh, this is okay. Like, and it's like, so you're going to employ these robots, and then you're going to unemploy them a year later? What do you think they're going to do? You think they're going to take that quietly and be like, sure, I'll just sit here in the corner? Like, no, they're going to come kill you, and then we'll really have no baseball because they're going to kill everybody involved. Guys.
Yeah, so since that's happening, definitely take the high AAV middle relievers.
Yeah, you should. Because, yeah, like, it's, right. Honestly, whoever you willed all your assets to after the robots kill most of us, like, you know, they're going to need that money to, like, rebuild the country and fight the war against the robots. So. Do you think that we talk about robots killing us at least once a show? It's kind of like the feral cats.
Yeah.
Necessary stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's just important that you all know what our priorities are. Feral cats, death by robot. Okay. Anything else on this before we move on?
No, nothing from me.
All right.
All right, Ruby, you're up. Where are we going first?
Let's go to something we got right. Took a bit. But our first college football playoff rankings came out yesterday. As we recorded this. And I will give my reaction, and you guys jump in here at the end and everything, but my initial reaction when I read through this and I'm looking through and I'm comparing, and specifically I want to get into grouping later, but when I'm comparing the teams of how it was placed at the top end, at the bottom end that we really don't see move up that much, the committee got it right. There's arguments for little things here and there, and, you know, well, this and that, but it's minor things that I think we argue with because it's not in our nature to see this and be like, yep, perfect, done, awesome. Like, there's always going to be something, but there's four regular season weeks left, a conference title week as well, to sort this stuff out and continue to see how it plays out. But looking at it at first, I'm happy. I like it. I think they did the right thing. There's definitely some decisions in there that had to happen, that are other polls out there existing that don't exist anymore in my mind. Didn't get right, but we got right here. So I gut reaction first from y'all. Get it right? Get it wrong? Anything glaring?
So okay, I was told not to look at
it. Yeah, I was about to say.
So yeah, we were told by you not
to look at
it. Oh, that's right. And
tell us.
I would.
We have to react.
I would, I
can't believe I forgot that.
I would like to point out the minefields that I've had to dodge today to do that between social media. My own father, an hour ago, texted me the rankings, and I saw what it was about, and I was able to not look at it. So I dodged a lot of mines.
Well, good. Then here we go. All right. Oh, my gosh.
To preserve this. This is
great.
So let's rock.
I have not seen anything, and it wasn't even hard because I just simply did not go on Twitter today. So.
All right. Well, then let's shoot through the top. Let's just stay kind of there. Unsurprising, number one, Ohio State.
Nah.
Number two, Indiana.
Oh.
Number three, Texas A&M.
I thought you said they got this right.
Yeah, I have a problem with two and three already. Like, three should be two.
I already have a problem. I don't, one is fine. I don't care about that, but I already have a problem. With two-thirds of this.
These are, I understand what the issues with those teams. They are in the top two conferences, and they're undefeated. You've got to put them there until they get beat.
No,
now we can have a conversation about the scheduling and the issues that we have.
I really don't have to do that.
No,
you don't have
to. I think A&M absolutely should be there, but they should be number two.
You've got A&M ahead of Indiana. Okay.
Yeah.
I can understand that. You've got an A&M team that beat Notre Dame and Indiana. Their big win is Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, let me keep flying down there for you. So, number four, Alabama, our first one loss team.
Oh, God.
I don't know about that.
Okay.
Five, Georgia. Six is Ole Miss.
Mm-hmm.
So an interesting 3, 4, 5, and 6, all SEC. That's the grouping stuff I was talking about. Very interesting to see how that plays out, but you got that grouping there. 7 and 8, the Big 12 jumps in here with BYU at 7, Texas Tech at 8.
Mm-hmm. No.
Absolutely not, no.
No, and no.
9 Listen, is Oregon.
Dig me up there. Why is Oregon behind BYU? Explain this to me.
Why is Oregon behind BYU? The only argument I can give you there, one, BYU being undefeated, Oregon one loss. Again, look at the schedule. BYU does have a win over number 13, Utah. Oregon does not have a win over any of the teams ranked in the top 25 in this.
That's because they've only played one of them.
Yeah.
Bad argument.
But and they've got games coming up. They've got 3 of their last 4 games are against teams that are in the college football top 25 currently. So Oregon has the opportunity to move up. You win your game this week. They play at Iowa, number 20, Iowa. Win that game. BYU Tech are playing this week, so there's an automatic move up. That's where this is what the committee is doing, and I can see it, is you position Oregon to win the games in front of you, you're going to be fine. You're going to get in. But you can't give them credit yet for playing those teams.
But I'm not. What I'm saying is that I think the wins that they do have are more valuable. So we're hinging this all on one win, right? Which might be a reasonable thing to do if all things were equal. But here's the problem. So, yeah, you can tell me, yes, Oregon's going to get it. Sure. Okay, fine. But once you've set a precedent, BYU is ahead of Oregon, then what's going to have to happen is BYU is going to have to screw up, or it will be very hard for Oregon to pass them. So now you're saying, oh, they've positioned them to get in, which is true, but what they haven't positioned them to do is move up to where they should be, because historically that's not how this has worked. I'm sorry, you're not in a real conference.
Yeah.
You don't get to do that. Like, yeah. I understand, I think I know what they're doing, which is they're trying to get around the thing that everybody got mad about last year, where we were like, these teams weren't even in the top whatever, and then they got in because they won their crappy
conference. That's what it is, right there.
So now they're trying to correct that by saying, we rank those teams that way, so you can't say anything. It's like, well, now I'm going to bitch about when you're putting people out of order then. You got to get this stuff right, and this is not. No, we're off to a bad start already.
We're
off to a bad start.
You just nailed it right there. The committee fully expects all this to be upended.
Yes.
Right? This is the first ranking, so they're doing the PR stuff right now.
Right.
Yeah, I think you nailed that. That's exactly what I think.
Of course they're doing the PR stuff. Of course they are. All right, let's keep going. Number 10 is Notre Dame, because we all have to get them in. The first 2 lost team. 11 and 12, hey, here's one that the committee got right. 11 is Texas, 12 is Oklahoma.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
I'm okay with that, yeah.
It's the biggest issue I had with all the others. They had Oklahoma above Texas. Like, they literally played at a neutral site.
They played them, and they beat them. You can't do...
Yeah, they got that right. And, you know, depending on how
so
Texas...
So they got 1 right and 11 and 12. Great.
13 is Utah.
Sure.
Who doesn't have a good win yet.
Gross. 7-2,
and their losses are Tech and BYU.
Oh, come
on. Oh, my God.
Then we get, you ready for this? 14, we got our first ACC team in Virginia.
I guess somebody had to get, they had to pick someone. Right?
Well, and this is here's the grouping stuff. Let me go through it. 14, Virginia, ACC. 15, Louisville, ACC. 16, Vanderbilt, had to put them somewhere. 17, Georgia Tech, ACC. 18, Miami, ACC. So there's the here's the PR stuff. Here's the grouping. This is what I can see it happening. There you put those 4, and that is saying those 4. Like, look, obviously one of you will be in this. So figure it out. You're only getting one.
I can't get on board with this.
And then we to wrap it up. I'll go through the quick. 19 is USC, 20 is Iowa, 21 Michigan, 22 Missouri, 23 Washington, 24 Pitt, and 25 Tennessee.
Okay, I'm not even going to get into the Michigan and the Pitt of it all, especially the Pitt of it all, because it doesn't matter. Because none of these people.
And that's the thing I love about the bottom half of this is it's you're saying, okay, you guys are two lost teams at 6-7 wins. Fine, you have to be here. But there's a whole lot ahead of you to move up. And those teams are, I mean, it's USC, everything I just read right there, those teams have to win out to get up there.
I don't even know that
and win out. Yeah, I would say win out, and you got to have some shenanigans up ahead.
Okay, you know what I got out of all of this? The only good team is Ohio State. That's what I got out of all of this. There is one good team, and it is unfortunately Ohio State.
Yeah, I will say that, I mean, granted, the bar was incredibly low, but they did better than the AP. Again, that
well, the other thing, too, because of the, you know, what's fun about this, and I'm not saying fun in a good way, but one of the playoff teams in this bracket, so if the brackets are done, you're 1, Ohio State, 2, Indiana, 3, A&M, 4, Alabama. That's your buys. 5, Georgia plays Memphis right now. Memphis isn't even ranked in the top 25. But of the lower conferences, that's your number one team right now. That's going to get figured out and everything, but still, a playoff team not ranked. Let that one sink in a little bit.
No.
It'll fix. It'll get fixed. Oregon would play Tech. Virginia would play Ole Miss, and Notre Dame would play BYU. As it stands right now, obviously that gets fixed.
Not important. Yeah. All right, before we get too bogged down in this.
Yeah, so I look, it's an imperfect thing, ranking everything. I understand what the committee's doing with this grouping. It's putting the onus on those teams to figure it out. You've got to win. You know, I mean, you've got the A&M, Alabama, Georgia, Ole Miss. Like, hey, you four are there. Continue on course, you four are getting in. Texas, Oklahoma, you're sitting on the out. Right now, Texas, Oklahoma are not in the playoffs. And that is both of them have, you know, Oklahoma lost to Texas. Texas has that bad loss to Florida. You got to figure this out. The good thing for both of those teams, Texas has A&M and Georgia coming up. Oklahoma has Bama and Missouri coming up. Win those games, and you're going to move up. The one thing I will be very intrigued to see, BYU Tech, what happens to the loser? How far do you drop them?
I don't care. That's the problem. I don't care where you put them. Like, yeah, see, they've lost me completely with this. Like, it was fun for that 1 year when we got this right. But no, I'm not interested.
We've got time.
There's 5 weeks
to figure it out.
I'm no. Really curious what this is next week.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not, which is the problem.
Yeah.
They've already lost me, and we're in week one. And part of it's not their fault. It's the fact that everyone is bad.
Yeah.
This is a bad season.
Yeah, it is a bad season. Yeah.
But, all right. Well, I guess we better move on. I'm not impressed.
Let's have some fun. Let's end up with some fun here. Stay with college football, and let's do our third installment of Guess the Real Name of That College Mascot.
Oh, no.
Hey, what are you worried about? You guys have done wonderful. 66 out of 10 your first time, 7 out of 10 your second time.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. All right.
So,
all right.
Confidence is high. I will say it was a whole lot easier to get those lists. This one's a little bit harder because we're starting to run out of good options.
We're already not doing well. Like, 6 out of 10 isn't good. 7 out of 10 isn't good. That is a bad grade. Like, now you're going
to
be a 60 and a 70.
As someone who prides himself on getting A's, I'm sorry, but that is a bad grade.
That's a bad grade. All right. So, hey, good thing here is a lot of the teams we've talked about are going to be showing up here.
I mean, come on. A 60 is an F, or in some states, a D.
Yeah, in some states it's a D, but let's not get into that. That'll take a whole long time. Well, this first one's for you.
Oh, God.
What is the name of the live mascot at Texas A&M?
Reveille.
There you go. Good job.
Can I get harder now? That one. It's going to get a lot harder now. Okay.
All right. Number two, Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets.
Is it Mr. Buzz?
I think it is Buzz, isn't it?
It is Buzz, yep.
Damn, I just had to, put the Mr. in front of it.
Yeah, appreciate you putting the Mr. there. But yeah, it's just Buzz. Just Buzz. Here we go, y'all are rolling. All right, number three, the Navy Midshipman.
Okay, as somebody who absolutely does not care about the academies at all because they are irrelevant in sports, I don't know or care.
Is it something to do with an anchor?
No.
Then I got nothing.
Oh, this one takes a little history to figure this one. It is actually a goat is their mascot, and his name is Bill. Bill the Goat.
Bill the Goat.
How original.
Bill the Goat.
Bill the Goat. There's a good long story with that one, but yeah, Bill the Goat. Maybe. All right, let's head back. Let's do a Big Ten team, the Wisconsin Badgers.
Bucky.
Good job, Bucky the Badger, or Bucky Badger, as he goes by.
Wouldn't Bucky the Badger be better than Bucky Badger?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Just to make sure we're on the same page.
Like, they're speaking about that as though that is his last name.
That's what I'm talking about. Like,
Bucky Badger.
Bucky Badger. Not Bucky the Badger. Bucky Badger.
You know they're not the only ones that does that. An honorable mention. Oregon State does the same. It's Benny Beaver.
No.
Not Benny the Beaver. Mm-mm.
Sounds like these mascots have social security cards.
Yep. Well, thank you. All right. Wake Forest Demon Deacons.
Is it the Demon Deacon?
It is. He is just called Demon Deacon. Good job. Trying to trick you with that one, but well done.
There you go. Hey, guys. We're not going to fall for that. This is like when you were like, what is the name of the Nittany Lion?
Hey, lion. 4 out of 5. Y'all are doing awesome. You're doing awesome. All right. Now the second half.
I don't like how you said that. I really don't like how you said that.
You're going to be fine. You're going to be fine. All right. Hey, we just talked about a little while ago. The BYU Cougars.
The only thing, the only possibilities hitting my head are incredibly inappropriate, so I'm not going to say them.
I don't know. I mean, I'm assuming it actually is a cougar, right?
It is a cougar. And they got this one right. It is blank it, the cougar.
Cornelius.
That was
Cornelius. What's in there? Colin. Cosmo.
Back to back CO. I like that. What did you just say?
Cosmo? Like Cosmo Kramer?
Is Cosmo.
Oh my Cosmo. God. Are you serious? That's really funny. I was just being a jerk.
Hey, that's how we've got a couple of answers tonight so far. So,
hey, whatever works, right?
Well, I was going to have fun. I was like, Cornelius Connor. I was like, wow, you really are hitting the COs there.
I was just playing the odds. I was looking for – that is really funny. Hey, every Cosmo once in a while, the right?
When in doubt, go jerk.
It's right choice today, Flesh. Sometimes it pays to be a jerk. Okay.
Yep. All right. Getting away from football a little bit, more a little basketball here, but the George Washington Revolutionaries.
Oh, I'm pretty sure it's just called George.
Yep, their revolutionary is just George.
And it looks like it is meant to be. Yeah, so, it's supposed to be George Washington.
I was gonna ask if it was the Minuteman.
That would be a different name. But yes, that would work too. All right, hey, you got your 6. Here we go. 3 more to go. Number 8. The North Texas Mean Green.
Oh, man.
Okay, what is a mean green?
I think it's quite literally just the angry version of the color green.
It's just like the Stanford Cardinal, because you know how I feel about names like this. Like, it's just, your name is just green. Like, I can't, no. So that gives me no clues. Is it Kermit? Is it called Kermit?
Is it
called Elphaba?
Is it possible it's another color like purple?
What if its name is Blue?
Yo, Blue! I'm green. Yeah, you blue now.
Yeah, I don't know what it says.
Bo, anything?
No. Purple was the only guess I had.
Yeah, it's so the Mean Green comes from when they had the, back in the 70s, Joe Green played there at North Texas State at the time. But they are the Eagles. Their mascot is an eagle, and it's Scrappy the Eagle.
Wait a minute. So you're telling me your team name is Green, your mascot is an eagle, and its name is Scrappy.
Scrappy.
This is just all very embarrassing. Like, all of them put together. Like, I don't know what to do with this. I've never heard of the school, and now I understand.
All right, number 9, the Iowa State Cyclones.
Oh, I thought I knew that.
It was good confidence there.
I don't know. Is this one that's really obvious? Like, is his name Cyrus or something? Cyrus the Cyclone?
No.
Oh,
you got anything?
I mean, is it storm related?
Feral.
Well, there's the fun thing. No, it is not storm related at all.
Talk about embarrassing.
So, Cyril, Cyrus, Cynthia. I'm now out of names that begin with CY. I really wanted to see Cynthia. That would be really fun.
Cynthia would be awesome. This one, it's going to drive you crazy. Samantha, I am going to give you a little bit of credit, though. You're going to get some credit here for, showing your work. Because it's not Cyrus, it is just Psy.
Psy Cyclone?
No. Psy the Cardinal.
Why is it a cardinal?
Their mascot is a cardinal.
Why?
Have you seen a cardinal try to fly through a cyclone? It's not fun.
Why? Okay. Listen.
The only reason I wanted to include that one today. Is Psy is like, hey, you got it, the Cardinal. Where's the Cardinal? Yes, if you watch the football games or the basketball games, there is a Cardinal running around for the Iowa State Cyclones.
That makes even less sense than the people who call themselves a Cardinal and have a mascot that's a tree. I didn't think we could top that. I was wrong.
It's actually worse because, like, a Cardinal can sit in a tree. They can't sit in a cyclone.
Or the green people with the eagle. How's that one work? Listen, we're overthinking this. We are overthinking this, and it does not make me think good things about, like, your school as, like, an academic institution. Like, we've named our team after a weather pattern, and then we've taken a small and relatively fragile bird as our mascot. Like, I don't feel great about, like, your science department. I really don't.
I'm sure every storm in Iowa State, they're like, see, there's a cardinal flying by. See, that's how we do it. But,
yikes.
All right, well, six out of 9, last one. I will be amazingly so happy, dumbfounded you got this, because as I do with the number 10s, it's got to be off the wall. There's a small school called Campbell. The Campbell Fighting Camels. What are their two mascots named?
Camel.
Spit and hump? I don't know.
Frankincense and myrrh.
There you go.
There you go.
Dromedary and Bactrian.
Ooh.
Chammy and Cameron.
Ooh, I like that. That was a good combination. Oh, anything you want to add to that one?
No, I got nothing on this one. Two camels?
The Campbell Fighting Camels. Their two camels are Gaylord and Gladys Camel.
Of course.
Okay, I respect all of that. Like, those cyclone people and the green people, I have no respect for that. That's a problem. I'm sorry, but calling your school the Campbell Fighting Camels is awesome. And wait, what are they called again? What are their first names?
Gaylord and Gladys.
Are these live camels?
I have no notes on that.
That would be that awesome. Is delightful. Unfortunately, no. That
okay.
would be awesome.
No, I approve of this. This is well done. I've never heard of this school. I don't even know where it is. But I respect your decision. Yeah, this is good. Campbell, whoever you are, good work. Good work. Mm-hmm.
They always show up baseball Gladys. Season. Baseball and March Madness. We'll see them. So, go Camels. Yeah. Hey, 6 out of 10
Fighting Camels.
Wait, the Fighting Camels. That's right, yeah. Not spit. Although Spitting Camels would have been cool, too.
Fighting Camels is awesome.
I should have done that for the baseball team. Spitting Camels.
Ugh, no. Let's not encourage people to spit. It's disgusting. no. But I like Fighting Camels, mostly because we don't think of camels as fighters. So, Fighting Camels. No, I'm super into that. I like it. Thank you for that.
Boom. All right. Hey, for having the tough ones, I know I put some there you did. I'll take 6 out of 10 again.
Yeah, again, that's a 60.
Yeah, I know that's it's not 60, good. Now, I am willing to throw out the Green Eagle thing because none of that made any sense.
Rappy.
But that still only makes us, what, 7 of 9? Again, I don't feel great about it. I'm a good student. These are not good percentages.
How'd you get the 7? I mean, 6 out of 9 if you throw that one out.
You added yourself a win. Do you see what's happened to me as a result of this? Because you told me I was an F student and now I have become one. Curse you. I still have like 8 months left of work to do on my dissertation. What have you done to me? Thank God there's no math in our history. Oh, man. I'm going to fail now. All because of this. All because of Scrappy or Crappy Eagle.
Scrappy, Sigh, and Build a Goat.
Well, that's another one. I can't. No. Build a Goat. Give me a break. I was okay with Sigh until you told me it was a cardinal.
That was the whole reason I added that. I was like, this is so great. I was like, I think they can get the Sigh. And you went Cyrus, which was good. That was good. But I was like, this is going to be great. It's like the cardinal.
The hell?
Why are you the cardinal? Yeah. Okay. Why they play football on Thursday nights only.
Yeah.
But. All right. Well, hey, still, I know 6 out of 10 is not ideal. But in this world of random Scrappies and Sighs and Gaylords and Gladyses, y'all did good. Especially the Cosmo. Let's do that. Hold on to that Cosmo. That's the win. That's the win you want.
I'm going to have to. Because otherwise I'm going to have to go to Iowa State because I've become so stupid that they're the only ones who can take me. Sorry if you went to... I'm not sorry, Len. I'm not even a little bit sorry.
But if you did go to Iowa State, please let us know. Why are y'all the Cardinal? We'd love to know.
No, don't tell me. It will just make me angry.
Yeah, I don't think I need the reason. It's just...
I don't really you know that. I think it will only make things worse. Yes. I would like to know how the Campbell people arrived at Gaylord and Gladys. So if you went to Campbell, that story I would be interested in. But I don't want to know about the others.
All right, well that's all I've got. That was good. I'm still happy for y'all. Y'all did well. Especially the Cosmo. That was Cosmo Kramer the Cougar.
At least we got that going.
That would have been a good episode. Cosmo's the BYU mascot. That would have been awesome.
You know what's funny too is like I said Cosmo Kramer, right? But you know who I was actually thinking of? The guy from the Jetsons.
Spacely Sprockets?
Yeah, Spacely. Oh. It's just Spacely. Yeah.
Wow.
Because I don't watch Seinfeld, but I do occasionally watch some old Jetsons. I love the Jetsons because I love fake space. It makes me very happy.
Did you like the
that's
movie?
That's what I was thinking of, and then Cosmo Kramer came out of my mouth. I was not aware there was a movie, but probably not. I tend to prefer canon with these things, so probably I do not want to know about the movie.
You know, doesn't matter how you got there, you got there.
I, listen, as a 6 out of 10 D student, I have to be grateful for these things. Never felt worse.
You know what? Come to think of it, I think I saw earlier this week that they're going to be doing a live-action Jetsons movie soon.
I hate that. No, absolutely not. Mm. I will not watch that.
That's not easy.
No, it's not easy at all. How are you getting Rosie? That's my question.
This is a terrible idea. I'm just going to go on record for that right now. Just let me have my reruns from like the 1960s or whatever it was. Like, I don't need this. Nobody needs this.
Oh, boy. All right. Anything else on this?
Now everyone's upset. So we were doing so well when the when it was the Louvre's password is Louvre, and things have really deteriorated here, though. So I hope you have something good for us. You think you've gone downhill.
Yeah, we've got one serious topic, and then we're going to have some fun here to close the show. But I wanted to talk to you guys about this. The Women's Pro Baseball League is we're getting close to draft time for that league, and it's going to kick into gear, I believe, in 2026. Couple things here. The rosters are going to be 15 players for a team. There are four teams. This is actually very similar to the professional softball league that just concluded. Very similar. Like four teams. It's a short season. It's a four-week regular season, a two-week postseason, and there's going to be an all-star game after all that. But I want to talk about the money here, because I think baseball might be missing out on something that could be kind of cool. Roster 15, $95,000 in salary per team. That's about $6,300, give or take a few pennies, per player per season. Now, again, the season's 4 weeks long, so that's not bad for a four-week payday, right? But
terrible for a four-week payday. That's horrible. Are you serious?
That is pretty bad. That's pretty bad.
That's like poverty. No, that is poverty money. No.
So, okay.
Wait, $6,000 for 4 weeks?
$6,300. You chipped him by $300. But here's the point. Why
is terrible.
Why isn't baseball being a little bit more involved with this? You can't tell me baseball can't sweeten that pot. Baseball can't, like, these owners can't get together and dump a lot of money into this league. We did the revenues last week, right? These guys are loaded. They're making a lot of money in professional baseball. Isn't this an opportunity to, it's going to take a while, right? I'm not saying this is WNBA, at least not yet, but this could be the start of something that gets there over the course of 10, 15 years. It could get there. If baseball plays its cards right. So, Samantha, I guess that's my first question. Is Major League Baseball missing an opportunity here?
Oh, I think so. Because, like, they got a lot right about this, right? With the idea that you're only going to have these four teams and you're going to play this short season. This is good. Start small. You know, this is where the WNBA went wrong when it first got started, which is they went too big, right? And they had to contract all these teams. They really overestimated sort of, like, you know, they basically thought it was going to function like the NBA. This is a much smarter plan. So it got this right in terms of the way they set it up, like, even though they're underpaying them, of course they are, because it's a women's league. Mm-hmm. But I think there was a huge opportunity here for baseball, if for no other reason than from a marketing standpoint. If you make women's baseball attractive, you get more women interested in baseball, period. So they're not just people who play softball. They become interested in the game of baseball, right? So you get more fans from a young age. Like, that's more young people getting into baseball. And the baseball audience, guys, is not nearly as old as, like, these crabby get-off-my-lawn people would like you to think it is. It's not all 70-year-old men. There are plenty of young people watching baseball. So, like, relax. The sport's not going to die no matter how badly you want to kill it. It's unkillable. But, like, this would be a real opportunity here for them to I think, create a partnership and perhaps expand the fan base a little bit and also help the sport out. Like you said, they're making money, right? Baseball has really not been in as good a position as they're in right now in a very long time. They have the money. This isn't actually very expensive. So to pour some money into, first of all, paying a reasonable wage to the players and also into marketing it, because you've been smart, right? You have a small number of teams. You put them in places where I think there probably is an audience that is like, I'll go see this. We got one in Boston. Like, I'm going to go check this out.
Yeah.
I mean, so, yeah, a lot of opportunities I hear from Major League Baseball. Even if you're just saying, hey, we'll do your marketing. Hey, we'll partner with you. Why not play, you know, a little exhibition game or something with the local MLB team? Why not just invite them out to your yard, introduce them to your fans? Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot you could do here that wouldn't cost very much, but might go a long way.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. You know, and I think that adding on to the opportunity that's in front of baseball right now, Major League Baseball right now, that professional softball league was very successful.
Yeah. So people are interested.
People are interested. Right? Like, you could piggyback off of that. Like, the two could work in tandem.
Yes.
Right? Because, it was really breathtaking. Like every single one of those professional softball games were completely sold out. And there were some stadiums where if they just opened up a few more sections, they would have sold more seats. Just completely sold out.
Yeah, so we have a market for this, right? There especially is. Because, again, we learned something from the first iteration of the WNBA. We're keeping it small, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you want demand to exceed supply in a situation like this. It worked for softball. It'll work for this, too.
Yeah, so, I agree.
Yeah.
Irby, how about you? What are your thoughts here?
I wholeheartedly agree with the slow expansion. Like, get this started. Was it Boston, New York, L.A., San Francisco? I know that the conversation has begun already, expanding to 6 and 8 down the line, and that's great. Start small, build from there, similar to the softball model. Like, start with that road show and get the popularity from there. Mm-hmm. Baseball, MLB, like, maybe this needs to be part of our lockout, too. Players Association, jump in here, like, let's get this added to, because it's not, I with the revenue that Major League Baseball makes,
yeah,
this isn't that hard of an investment.
Yeah.
This is not, I don't want to say something like a charity, because it's not, but this is easily something that you could do in the same cities.
Yeah,
because they already talk about they're going to be playing in what
city? Yeah,
college and minor league places. So I'm looking at like Dallas, Fort Worth, here where the Rangers are, Frisco, that's up from the road from me, a minor league stadium. Boom, bam, play the games there.
Yeah,
I would love to have that. The one ask is the nicknames. Please don't do like the modified version of the male sport.
Yeah, like the good call out.
Don't do that.
Okay, but don't also no more of this nonsense. The lightning, the flashing. No more concept names. Like, just give them a normal name. Okay, let's not pretend like women's teams have to be named after like some esoteric like weather function. The Shock, you know, like, stop it. Just give them a name. Like, I don't care. Like, do what everybody else does and pick a generic animal. You can call them the Cardinals. Just please don't make the mascot a cyclone, okay? Like,
yeah. Actually, let's go get the animals that aren't getting any love. Like, have one of these teams be the rhinos.
Love it.
Like it, yeah.
Yeah, let's pick some weird animals.
The raccoons.
The raccoons.
The possums. Yeah. Let's go full-fledged roadkill.
San Francisco feral cat.
There we go. There it is.
I would buy so much merch.
If there was a team like the feral cat, I get it. What would the hats look like? Now, you know what? I'm not going down that road. That's a rabbit hole we don't want to go down. We don't have time.
That's something to ponder, though.
It is something to ponder. All right. Samantha, anything else on this one?
I know. Just like, I'm kind of stoked about that.
I'm very excited.
I want to see this. I think this is super cool. And it's like in my backyard. And I think that's awesome.
I'm very excited about this. Like, I mean, I had the softball. They did a couple of stops here in my backyard, and that was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
You know, that was a lot of fun. So I can't imagine this one not being fun. So let's get that going. Come on, baseball. Chip in a little bit here. Okay. Yep. One last bit before we go. Now, we've talked about foods in baseball parks, and we've kind of touched on with the NFL, but not really, right? So I thought I would take a look and see what egregious items are out there. Apparently, egregious is the word of the day, by the way. Egregious items in NFL stadiums.
What is the situation with Michael Scott screams, "This is egregious"? That's how I felt about a lot of things.
This is egregious. Okay.
This is egregious.
So I'm gonna preface this by saying the last one I'm gonna tell you about is quite possibly the most disgusting thing I've ever seen on a concession menu.
I'm terrified. We could have put this in the Halloween. I'm already terrified, and we haven't even started.
Off the top, I'm going to give Irby's 49ers a little bit of credit here. That might be the most boring concession menu I've ever seen, but there's healthy options, and then there's just general everyday carnival fare. Like, there's nothing crazy. So, good shot, San Francisco. Keeping it the way it's supposed to be.
I respect that.
Yeah. Okay. Now let's go to the Cowboys, who definitely did not.
Shocking.
The pizza burger is a 16-ounce Angus patty sandwiched between two pepperoni pizzas, lettuce, tomato, marinara, and melted mozzarella cheese.
Would rather die. Would rather die. For sure.
Ugh. What is with that? There's a lot of very, and I'm going to be honest here, like very creative fusions on this list. That one, All right.
I just, why do you need marinara sauce if you're already putting a pizza into it?
See, I guess in their defense, you're going to put mustard and mayo on that? Like, maybe a ranch.
No. You know what you're going to do? You're going to do what people like me have been doing for their whole life, and you're going to say, I don't need goo on my food. Condiments.
All right. Our next fusion, Los Angeles, this is for the Rams, the Stromboli dog. It is a hot dog covered in melty mozzarella and pepperoni and wrapped in a flaky pastry. Also served with marinara sauce.
Why are they all a spin on, like, the worst red sauce joint?
I feel like I'm giving Irby indigestion just by the
cold. People have no
idea. Yeah, I just popped a Tums.
Gross. Again, would rather starve.
Yeah. Okay. The Denver Broncos, not to be outdone, have the Jackalope Mac Stack, which is a sausage composed of smoked antelope, rabbit, and pork, topped with Flamin' Hot Cheetos dust, green chili mac, blue corn tortilla, and green onion.
That pork is weird in there.
Yeah, it's a little bit weird.
Yeah.
It's probably the filler, right? Like most sausages, yeah. Even the beef sausage has a little pork filler. That's probably what it is.
I can't even say on air what I want to happen to the person that invented that.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. That's pretty bad. Okay.
Cheeto dust. Disgusting.
Okay. Now, are you guys ready for the single most disgusting thing I've seen on a concession menu ever?
It gets worse.
Yes. It gets worse.
Oh, boy.
All right. Take a moment, prepare yourselves. If you're not sitting down, sit down. That goes for all of you outside out there listening to us as well. The Arizona Cardinals have a cotton candy burrito.
Nope.
The cotton candy burrito features cotton candy flavored ice cream mixed with fruity pebbles.
Cotton candy.
With fruity, me too. Mixed with fruity pebbles. Fruit Loops, marshmallows, Skittles, mini M&Ms, gummy bears, and sprinkles. And it is all wrapped up in a cotton candy shell.
Okay. Listen. Gross. And stupid. but still less gross than the Cheeto dust sausage.
Really?
Like, because this just makes me roll my eyes. You're not going to get, this isn't going to make you sick. It will rot all the teeth out of your head, right? But, like, looking at that, I'm just going to laugh at it. I don't feel like I would be put off my own food looking at this. I would just think it was stupid. Like, this is dumb, but I don't think it's disgusting. It's just dumb. You know, like, that is not nearly as gross.
Really?
As, like, the pizza covered marinara. Like, I'm sorry. Like, there is nothing grosser than just food covered in guac. It's disgusting. It will turn your stomach. It's gross. It's bad for you. Like, this sounds just more like something like your 8-year-old would invent. Right? Like, this is like right. what a small child would eat if you left them unattended in your kitchen and they were like, let's take a little bit of everything that's got sugar in it and stir it into a bowl together like they're elf. You know, they believe in the five food groups, you know, candy corn, candy cane, and syrup. I'm was way less upset by that.
Oh, I don't know. That cotton candy burrito was that was. My stomach turned on that one. Herb, any thoughts here before we call it a week?
No. like who designed that? Let's get some of that. I brought Fruity Pebbles. Sure, why the hell not?
Just throw it in there.
Why do you think they went with Fruit Loop and Fruity Pebbles? Yeah. Like, why do you think that happened?
Like, that's probably, yeah. It's just like,
a little bit more of this, but a different shape. Like... Why?
Probably an order mistake. So Fruit Loops and Fruity Pebbles showed up.
Sure. Whatever. Oh, yeah. Like, do you think they ordered like 12,000 pounds of cereal and they accidentally? I just like, meh. At this point, why not just throw it all in there? Sure.
Whatever.
I think I need a Tums.
But also the sprinkles. Why? Why?
Right. Like, why are the sprinkles inside? Why are they mixed in with the ice cream? Like, wouldn't that be something you put on the top?
Well, it isn't the whole point of sprinkles to give a little bit of, like, crunch against, like, the mush of ice cream, yes. right? But, like, you have plenty of crunch here, so, like, what do you need the sprinkles for? It's not like you don't have enough sugar.
That's a good point, yeah.
It's, I mean, it's, I know it's, like, the least gross component of this, but it's also deeply weird that it's there. you just can't. You're not safe anywhere. Don't eat the food. Just don't eat the food.
Except for San Francisco.
This kid was just making crap up. You know, throw some of that on. Throw some of that on. Throw some of that on. Whatever.
I used to like outside, let the kids in the snowplows. Yeah. Like.
Or it was the person's last day.
Whatever.
Sign this. Like, yeah. Just like, sure. I got sprinkles too. Why the hell not? Throw it on there. I don't care.
Oh,
I'm getting fired.
Or do you think it was like they had an unsuccessful like candy concession stand and it was like, listen, we got to use all this stuff up. What are we going to do?
Yes.
Just throw it all into one.
Oh, that has to be
somebody
it.
Somebody will buy it.
Yeah.
Somewhere the Pittsburgh Pirates are like, ooh, you could do that too. No. Stop saving money and give it to Paul.
But what if we sold more cotton candy burritos and we give them money? No, still no. Still won't pay the pitcher. Okay.
Well, if you're going to a game in San Francisco, you're safe. Everywhere else, good luck. That's all I'm going to say. All right. Okay, well, we're gonna end it on the cotton candy burrito. I don't really know how I feel about that, but that's how we're going to leave it. So, wherever you listen to Lollygagging Sports, give us a like, subscribe to the show, help us out with that algorithm so we get some more lollygaggers in here. But for this week, we're done. We're out of here. Until next week, I guess watch some college football to see if these playoff rankings are right. I don't think they are.